Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show. So first-time listeners, you need to tune in every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday.
We'll be starting the show in a second. Let's kick the show off with our theme song tonight.
Show the amazing Sunday night, and this is Ron Rad.
Tonight we talk Amazing Race. If you guys have a question, you guys can call in 347-237-5506.
Hi, and welcome to the second pit stop on the wonderful Sunday evening show. I hope you all enjoyed watching the Amazing Race on CBS tonight. Host Louis Stravato from The Amazing Race Season 16, along with his special guest, Mr. Adam Pock, will be joining us in just a moment. As always, Louis's got a great show lined up for everyone tonight. My name is Cherry Garcia, and I'll be your co-host tonight. And we also have with us Mr. Paul from Minnesota, who we've dubbed our Clipmaster because he puts together all the great audio clips that you hear on our show, like that special opener that you just heard. How are you tonight, Paul?
I'm good. I threw a little curveball again on my clips. I used a different Louie Louie song, and I'm anxious to hear what our host thought about that. It was just a little maybe temporary thing, but I'm doing well, except for my Vikings loss. They got embarrassed today.
Well, we do have the most loved officer in all of Rhode Island. Everyone loves our Louie, Mr. Louie Stravato. Let's bring him up now. Louie, how are you?
I have a freaking cold. I got this chest thing going on, so I may cough once in a while. So I'll try to cover my mouth and cover my face away from the speaker so it's not right in your ear. But other than that, I'm doing great. Thank you. I miss all my friends out there in Virginia. For personal reasons, I couldn't make it out there. But, you know, I'm hearing they're having a good time and, you know, and having a blast over there at the Reality Rescue in Virginia. So
right.
I miss those guys. As far as Paul, I love whatever you do. It always seems to be, like, unbelievable, man. I love the little clips of my, you know, like me inside there with Ron, like Ron calling me and me saying, what's up, brother, or whatever, you know, it's like, so, I mean, it's really cool. It's really cool to hear.
You put some great stuff together.
I appreciate that, Louie. It was, they're two good songs, you know, the Louie Louie songs, and I just thought I'd throw that other one in, but they're kind of interchangeable, so I'm glad you didn't hate it.
I did not hate it. We, you know, whatever way the wind blows, brother, however you
all
feel,
right.
I love it. So.
Louie, we also have your special guest with us, Mr. Adam Pack from BB13. How are you, Adam?
Hello, Jerry, Paul, and Louie. Oh, whoa. What's going on, guys? Hey,
we got to find a song for you, Adam.
Uh-oh.
What's going on, Adam?
What's going on, man? Hey, Paul, don't worry. I'm in the same boat as you. At least, you know, your team didn't give you a heartbreaker this week. My freaking Cowboys missing a last-second field goal. Poor clock management.
No,
yeah.
Whoa. Adam,
just
the Cowboys didn't miss the last-second field goal. They missed the friggin' the two-point conversion.
You know, it was just a calamity of errors. And then I flip over to my Yankees, and the Yankees got embarrassed tonight. So, hey, at least it was a good episode of Amazing Race to make me feel a little bit better.
My St. Louis
Cardinals did pretty good.
I'm sorry?
My St. Louis Cardinals did pretty good.
Oh, they're trying to blow this game right now, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Adam, I didn't see the game, but I certainly saw the report at the end, and to say that, you know, the Cowboys score with 32 seconds left, then miss the two-point conversion to tie it, but then they recover an onside kick and still miss what was, you know, it was within his range. That was horrible.
Yeah. But you know what? This is not a football show. Let's talk about something good. Let's talk about the Amazing Race.
You know, it's funny. Did you ever meet Ron?
No, I'm sorry, I did not.
He would have went on and on about the Chicago Bears for a little bit. He was a big Bears fan. God rest his soul. But you're right. As far as, like, you didn't go to the Virginia Reality Rescue, did you?
No. Unfortunately, just like last year's, you know, I had previous engagement for the weekend, so had to miss it. But I sent a lot of love to all my BB family, and I saw they had a lot of people down there this year between Big Brother Survivor. I saw a lot of couple of the Glass House people were there.
Yep.
So it's good to see that the Reality family just keeps getting bigger and bigger and still doing so much good work for different charities all over the country.
Yeah, no, as well as Expedition Impossible, the people from that show. I mean, and I get, you know, Earl Cole from Survivor, he had an event this weekend in Chicago, I believe it was. It was a biking event that I was asked to go out to as well. Everything came at once, hit me all at once, but then, of course, personal matters, you know, family before everything else as far as I'm concerned. So I had to, you know, take care of certain things, and, you know, that's that. But as far as my weekend, I also did a walk for suicide prevention. It's AFSP.org. That's always a big thing for me. I just, you know, there's people out there. They just don't understand the threats and the depressions that people go through on a daily basis, and they take their lives without any knowledge of, you know, how they can actually get help. Actually, the guys in the military especially. So, I mean, it's a great organization, and I was happy to be part of it. At least I was able to be part of that this weekend. So,
you always are involved in the most amazing charities, Louie.
I try to be. You know, you know what? Like Adam, who also does a ton of awesome charities as well. I'm not speaking for you, Adam, but I believe you're a lot like myself. I feel like I'm blessed to have been part of one of the greatest reality shows on TV. And if I can spread the word, you know, using the show, I'm going to do it. You know, whatever I can do to help people. So.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, to get onto my favorite reality show was a dream come true. But it's what, you know, what I'm doing afterwards and using the little celebrity status that I have for good and not evil. You know, I'm getting ready. Next month is November, and I'm doing the Movember challenge where, you know, all men grow mustaches to raise money for men's health and awareness. Cherry, I haven't forgotten about Toy She Talks at the end of November, early December. I'm still trying to work it into my schedule to get back up to New Hampshire to do that. So
that would be wonderful if you could make it.
Yeah, you know, and like we said, you know, just to be blessed with, you know, the opportunity to go on a show, and then what you do after that is, you know, and it's so good to see that so many people have gotten involved in it. And, you know, like I said, I was looking at pictures on Twitter all weekend of people, like, you know, I saw people from the Bachelor pad hanging out with people from, you know, Glass House, hanging out with Survivor, Big Brother, Mission Impossible. I mean, you know, we're all given an opportunity. We all had fun or mayhem on the shows that we were on, but then you know, to come together and do the good stuff afterwards is you know, is great feeling, and I'm so proud to be a part of it.
Right. Speaking of charities, real quick, I just have an update that I want to mention to everyone. I had made an announcement about a little boy named Alexander, who is the son of Crystal Marsh. She's doing a fundraiser on Facebook right now because her son was given a wish by Make-A-Wish Foundation, and her and Alexander and her family will be going down to Give Kids the World in Florida because her son has been granted the wish to go to Disneyland by Make-A-Wish Foundation, and she wanted to give back to Make-A-Wish for granting him the wish. Her son got very ill over the weekend, and they had to take him to 3 different hospitals, and he's being treated right now for something that's very similar to the children's form of chickenpox. And so he is back home right now. They're having to take him back to the hospital in the morning, but they had to take him to 3 different hospitals over the weekend. And so something like that, because he was born without an immune system, you know, is really, really scary and could be life-threatening to him. And that's just an example of how sick this little boy is. And I have been in constant touch with them. And from what I understand, the reality people have been coming through for them so well. And I just want to say thank you to all of the reality people who have been, you know, sending things to them and giving back and doing so much for Crystal and her son Alexander. It's so nice to see everybody doing things like this and, you know, giving to the charities that they, you know, give to. This little boy is, you know, in such danger and is going to live like this for the rest of his life. And it's just so scary for the family. So I wanted to say thank you to everyone who's contributed, and we'll sort of try to keep everyone updated from time to time on Alexander. And Louis, thank you for letting me make that update. I just wanted to let everybody know how he was doing.
No, no problem. What I have to add to that is I know I told Crystal that I would donate something that I'm going to autograph and send to her. I just don't have an address. So if you can get me that, or, you know, at some point in time.
I certainly will.
To mail it out to her, you know, I'm more than happy to do that. So
I sure will.
Thank you for mentioning that, though. Hey, Adam, what's I'm loving our boys James and Abba, the Rockers. But without talking about tonight's episode yet, because we have to do like a spoiler alert for the people on the West Coast because they haven't even seen it yet. But I'm liking them, man. They're pretty consistent. They're doing things like I'll tell you what. The first 3 episodes. Mike and I were on, we, like, followed everybody around, and I call it like this. It was like following people around, like chickens with their heads cut off. That's how we were running around, and I was hating it. I was hating it, and it wasn't until after the third episode, or the third leg of the race, that we finally, like, we were last. We knew we were last. I said, Mike, let's just enjoy this. Let's do this. We were on a separate plane. We were like, maybe their plane will get delayed, and we'll be first. And sure enough, we go to get on that plane, and we ended up on that plane with the Cowboys. And sure enough, their plane got delayed, and we ended up in front, and we went on a run from there. But it was all about just being ourselves after that. I couldn't take it anymore. You know, I didn't want to be part of an alliance. I didn't want to be part of anything. I just wanted to be us, you know, running the race. And I think that's pretty much the way James and Abba have been running it so far. And I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, what's really funny is when the cast was announced, I'm looking at Abba and I'm like, you know, I swear I know this guy. I know this guy, I mean, from all my years in the music business. And, you know, I connected with him on Facebook, and it turns out he was the lawyer to one of the bands that I used to work for when I first got into the music industry, a band called Soul of the Zero, which was one of my favorite bands of all time, which is why I worked at their label. And so Abba and I have been talking a little bit, you know, about the show. And it's just, you know, him and James definitely, like, you know, they know the show and they know how it goes. And, you know, they said it tonight in the episode where it's like, you know, do they want to help other people or do they want to win? And, you know, the other people are not going to help them win. The other people might help them a little bit here and there. But when it comes down to it, you know, you're playing the game yourself. You have to win it yourself. Nobody's going to win the game for you. So, you know, again, early on, I could see how people might want to throw it together, but, you know, then comes a time where you're going to have the moral dilemma. So if you never put yourself in a position where you're helping people and then relying on help, you know, you're always in it for yourself. So I think that's the way that they wanted to play it, and it seems to be working. Hey, you know what? You don't have to finish first every leg. You just can't finish last.
Exactly. So,
right.
Hey, Adam, speaking of the music business, you might share, have you had the opportunity to meet up with personally Jen City yet?
Yeah, it's so funny. No, Jen and I have not. We've been texting and emailing back and forth. We might be going to see Primus together on Friday night here in New York City, so it'll be a good time. But yeah, we've been trying to meet up. Just you know, both of our schedules are just so crazy. But you know, we've definitely been in touch, and you know, from one metalhead to another, we know how crazy that house was and how crazy life is right afterwards. So you know, I don't hold it against her that we haven't been able to hang out yet, but you know,
I be a first good meeting.
Yeah, it's going to be so funny. And again, another, you know, small world. You know, Jen and I have a lot of mutual friends.
Cool.
But we've never personally met. So, you know, it's, you know, there used to be a 6 degrees of separation. And with Facebook and all the, you know, everything going on in this world, it's down to like 2 or 3 degrees of separation. Everybody knows each other somehow, some way. So, you know, it's pretty funny.
That's really cool. That is really cool. I, on November 9th here in Providence, Rhode Island, Megadeth is coming. And I was all set to go, me, my son, his friend, my boy, right? And sure enough, another charity event comes along that, you know, they were like, please, Louis, can you please be part of this? And it's for Sargent's disorder. It's a brain disorder organization.
Right.
And we're gonna be shadowing waiters at this event, and we have to get our waiter has to make the most in tip money. So I got to, like, be with my waiter. It's going to be fun. But, you know, I was like, I haven't been to a good show in a while. And I'm like, all right, Megadeth, yeah. You know, thinking of Adam, you know. Like, but, nope, not happening.
Right, well, I'm going to be seeing Megadeth in Atlantic City on I think it's Friday, November 16th. So, hey, Louie, if you're not doing anything, come on down to AC. Let's gamble a little bit and rock the fuck out.
When is that?
It's November 16th. It's a Friday night down in Atlantic City.
Birthday. That's a possibility. November 15th is my birthday, so that might be a possibility.
All right.
But anyways, last week, Nadia and Natalina, they won the Express Pass. And I thought it was, it's a nice prize to have. You know, it's not a prize, but it's a good piece of paper to have in your hand for this race. So I'm, I'm curious on how they're going to use it. I hope they use it wisely. They've been playing pretty good. I mean, they started out of the gate tonight pretty hot, but then fell back a little bit. But what did you think of tonight's episode without giving away anything yet, Adam?
Being a fan of the show now, I was a casual fan before, but, paying more and more attention last couple seasons. Transportation is a bitch, huh?
Yes, it is.
It's so sad. I mean, Amy and I forgot her partner, the team that went out last week, I mean, they were in second place. They were cruising right along, and their cabbie just couldn't find the motor, place that they were looking for. And that ended up, kicking them out of the game. So, it's so important, especially, when taking planes and taking trains and taking automobiles and not being able to speak the language and not knowing that there's no information in some countries. You got to rely on, some other forces, and that can end up screwing you. Or, like we saw last week, Abba and James got on an earlier flight and gave themselves an hour lead, but couldn't blow up balloons and ended up losing that lead. So, transportation is a mother.
Louie, at what point does that not become as much? How do you adjust to that? Are you able to learn from the early mistakes at all?
No. Look, the bottom line is, if the plane is delayed, there's unforeseen things that can happen. If the plane's delayed, it's delayed, and you can't do nothing about that.
I guess I'm thinking more along the lines of taxis. I mean, at what point do you say this guy doesn't let me out of this cab and let me find another one? Or we saw a little bit of that.
Well, that's a great question, because do you roll the dice? At that point. Like with me and Mike, when our final leg was in China before we got eliminated, and he couldn't understand us, we couldn't understand him, and it just got really ugly until he finally gave us the phone, and we finally were able to call the number that was inside the taxi. But it was, a day late, dollar short type thing, And that type of stuff happens throughout the show, and you can't foresee it. You just can't foresee it, and there's no way of preparing for it,
Let me ask about foreign taxis, because I certainly know that taxi cab drivers in the U.S. can get on their radio and call their dispatch. Do any of the foreign ones have that ability?
Yes. Yes, they do.
We've seen them. They actually have used their cell phones before to call and ask for help with airline reservations and that kind of thing, haven't they, Louie?
Right. We aren't allowed to have a cell phone on us, but we were allowed to use other people's cell phones. So, when you got a taxi, we were trying to say to the taxi cab driver, let us use your phone, and he finally understood what we were talking about and gave us the phone, but it was too late, You can get out and you take the chance, you might just end up on another taxi that's just as bad. My whole point with this thing is you do not, some of the teams, they were acting like Caitlin and Brittany tonight. Like, you can't act like, you're making yourself look like an ass, number one, throughout the whole world. I mean, this show is shown here, but it's also shown in places like Finland, Norway. This is this show is shown more than like Big Brother and Survivor because it goes throughout the whole world and other countries pick it up, right? But it's like, why would you wanna be that person that's yelling at somebody from a foreign country? I did not want to be that way. I told Mike right from the beginning, we're in other people's countries. I said we're visitors here, and we're gonna act like visitors. We're not gonna act like we know everything, and you know that's how we play the game.
And Louis, I'm not trying to be rude, but you're a little bit older, a little bit wiser, and been around the block a little bit longer. These girls were, you know, kind of young and, you know, very aggressive in their nature, and you know. They said early on in the episode, you know, like, this is nothing that they've ever done before, so they don't know what emotions are going to come out. And, you know, and that's one thing that I've learned firsthand, in that, you know, you can prepare all you want at home watching, but when you're in the heat of the moment, you never know what's going to happen. You never know how you're going to react until you're actually doing it. So people that are, you know, a little bit older and wiser and have been, you know, around the block a little bit, know how to handle themselves a little bit better. And, you know, they say karma is a bitch, and she showed why tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so true. So true. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. You're right. They're younger. They, you know, yeah. I don't know about how much wiser I am, but... Mike.
Well, at least you have a bigger sample to draw from because you've been around the block a little bit.
Yeah, I get you. No, I understand. I totally 100% agree with you. I agree. Do we have a caller?
Well, we did, and they hung up. It was Ben, and I tried to private message him in the chat room, but I guess he's walked away from the chat room, so maybe I'll call back in a few moments.
All right. But we'll just... We'll do our little bit of spoiler alert here. We need something like a
whoop. Why don't they just record you going whoop whoop? I mean, you hear that noise 100 times a day when you're driving around, right?
Busting
the bad guys.
I took my son's 21. I took him with me today on patrol, and you know, and he's like, as soon as he got in the car, it was nonstop call after call. And I'm like, you're not driving with me anymore. But are you? Hold on.
Spoiler alert.
All right. Tonight, this is The Amazing Race 21, Episode 3. We're in Indonesia. Where Nadia and Natalie started off first, and they had to head to... I'm really bad with these names this year, especially Indian names. So, I mean, unless somebody can pronounce them better, I'm just going to say they were heading to a restaurant. once they located the restaurant, they received a roadblock. There, at this roadblock, they had to serve 20 plates of food all at once, without dropping any. If they did, they had to go back and get more. So I thought that was a pretty cool, you know, roadblock. You know, I mean, for the bigger guys, you know, it was easier to hold. Or anybody that was a server has an idea of how to hold plates. You know, like one of the Chippendale boys, one of the James brothers. You know, he had the idea down. I don't know. What did you think of it as a challenge, guys?
I loved it as a child. I thought, you know, those are the kind of things that I love to see because, you know, it's something that, you know, takes a little bit of skill, takes a little bit of luck, and, you know, takes, you know, patience. And, you know, like, if you try to do it too quick, you're going to end up screwing yourself. And you saw, like, you know, the first team that got there, it's still new in it. The dating divorcees, I think they are. The blonde girl tried to load them all up and crashed. And it's also good to see that in other countries, when somebody drops a plate, everybody in the restaurant claps. So I thought that was just here in America. I thought it was just us being rude, but it's nice to see that people all over the world, so the international, you drop a plate, everybody claps. But yeah, no, it was a good time. And monster truck guy, I mean, dude, that guy's arms, he could fit all 20 of them on his arm by himself. So he definitely made up some time there.
So I thought it was, what did you guys think, Paul, Jerry?
I loved it. I thought it was kind of fun.
It was different. I did like it.
I initially thought, you know, how's this going to, you know, play out on TV? But it really was. It was, I mean, how hilarious was it it was either Josh or Brent, I forget who did it, and he's trying to be cute and talk with the people, and he has almost all the plates on there, and just because he was, you know, trying to engage with the customers at the table, he ends up dropping a plate. I mean, it's, you got to concentrate, obviously. I also just want to back up a little bit, the plane ride. I mean, is that coming up, or did I get it out of? Oh yeah, it's coming up. Never mind.
No. Then the plane.
No, see, when they started the challenge, the first four teams all were like running the wrong way, and then they all teamed up together, and then they finally figured out where they had to go. And you know, the girls, the twins, you know, once again, you saw that they got in the cab, and their cab took longer to get there, and you know, they were the first team to start, and they were, I think, like the fifth or sixth team to show up at the restaurant.
Yeah.
So, you know, that sucks for them. But once again, you know, they just picked the wrong cab. They, you know, because everybody else was saying, follow that cab. Well, their cabbie obviously didn't follow the rest of the cabs.
Right. Well, so once they did this restaurant scene with the plates, they received their next clue, and it was they had to go to the Siberia train station. I probably said that wrong. Where it was going to take them to the town of Baikul. And once they were on this train, they had to keep an eye out for their next clue. As far as keeping an eye out for the next clue, it wasn't that difficult. There was a guy walking around with a tray, and they were hanging off of it. But, you know, and you know what it is, though? It's the stress of it. And it's the stress of looking for a clue and, you know, not knowing where it is. Like one of the James brothers looking up in the trays in the tray, and then all of a sudden it's like right in your face, you know. They don't always happen that way, but for the most part they do. But there was two different times the train went out. One was at like 7:30 in the morning, and then the second one was at 10:30. The first train that went out had Abby and Ryan, Trey and Lexi, James, and James and Abba. And when the other teams pulled up and realized they had to wait like 3 hours, that was a stress on them. What was nice about it was those first four teams I just mentioned were like, they got in a, for the time being, in an alliance per se. They're like, look, we don't have, you know, there's a double U-turn coming up. We don't have to U-turn anybody. You know, let's just, you know, kick back. Let's do our thing. And, you know, because we're not going to be eliminated. Let's just, you know, pretty much let's just battle out to see who's going to get first. So,
yeah, well,
Natalie
saw before that, too. Natalie and Nadia, they got to the train station with, like, 1 minute to spare.
Yep.
And, you know, those two girls, they have some funny lines, you know, like when they're running for the train and they say, hold the train. Like, come on, they're not going to hold the train.
Yeah.
But, no, it was, you know, but once again, transportation is a
transportation. Really, they left first for the airport or the train station, and yeah.
They just missed that train. They were trying to wave it down. They just missed it. And the people on the train were like, yes, yes, you know. They were cheering that, you know, they made it out of there without them.
I liked the little editing they did, though, showing the train slowly moving, and there was one last person that got on, and you sit there and think, well, maybe that means that, you know, Natalie and Nadia will jump on while the train is moving, but nope.
Nope.
Let me just slow up for just 1 second. I hear we got a couple of callers. Can they hold on and or should we slow up right here and let's hear them?
That's totally up to you.
Oh,
I say let's just bring them up for a short bit in case they do have time constraints
Okay. Well, our first caller is Ben. How are you doing, Ben? Thank you for calling in tonight.
Not too shabby. How's it going, guys?
Hey, Ben.
What's up, my brother?
What's up, Louie?
How you been, man? Adam, have you ever met Ben?
No, sure.
I missed Adam. Adam probably heard about me last year at Toys for Tots. I'm Boom Boom Room.
Okay.
So I'm sure that, because when I got there, a couple of people that I had never met said, oh, you're Boom Boom Room. I was like, oh, yeah. Yep, guilty. But, I missed you by 6 minutes last year. I showed up at Toys for Tots late in the afternoon, and you and Enzo had left or something.
Yeah, we had a long ride back to the Dirty Jersey.
Yeah, that is a long ride. I've done that one. I've done that. So, well, I'll see. I'll meet you this year, maybe.
Hopefully.
So.
Hopefully you can bring the fiancé this year, Adam.
We'll see about that. Again, it's trying, you know, our hectic schedule, we need to make sure we got everything covered before we commit to anything. So,
good idea.
Well, so, did you have a question, Ben?
Let's see. Did I have a question? Oh, I actually had comments, but they were for much earlier. I had tried to call in earlier, but I had some comments. You were talking about prayers and stuff, and I had read that Willie Hance's uncle needs prayers. You know, the Hance uncle, and he needs prayers. Frank Hance, he needs prayers. So the comment, but. Questions. I have questions, but we haven't got to that point in the race talk yet, though.
Hey, which Hance is that? That's the first I heard of Frank.
Frank Hance is the uncle of Willie Russell, Sean, maybe. Is there a Sean?
Do you know, is it on the father's side or their mother's side?
I do not know. It was something I read.
It would be the father's side, obviously, if his last name is Hance. So.
Thanks for
giving us that info, yeah.
Right, we're always Team Hance on here.
And on a better note, just one more comment before I forget. Sugar Kuiper was on America's Funniest Videos tonight, but I missed. So,
really?
No.
If anybody saw it, let me know. What's that?
What was she on for?
I don't know. I missed it. It was another thing in my feed. It went by and said, watch me on Funniest Videos tonight. Of course, I read this at 9:58 or something like that. So much for that idea. But I don't know. Maybe I can download the episode. I'll see if I can.
I'm sure you can find that on YouTube.
Yeah. She'll get it. But knowing Sugar is probably something awesome.
So. Absolutely. It has to be with Sugar.
Goodness.
Well, I hope to see you in New
Hampshire. What's that?
I'll be looking forward to seeing you in New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah, I know. Coming right up to the sticks this time, huh? What, you got a little cold going on?
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to behave with it. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I think it kind of wiped me out last week, but I'm back about 95% now, so.
But I'm not helping anything because I'm not resting, so whatever.
Oh, yeah, you got to rest.
It's hot.
I bet. I heard you guys been busy down there for the past couple of weeks. So, jeez.
Sam, we do have another caller holding. Did you want to hold on and listen, or do you want to go ahead and hang up?
No, I just had a comment, but it'll come in later. But actually, I'll just say now, and you'll understand. The Amazing Race producers this year are ruthless. All right,
I think I might know what you're talking about, but we'll see.
Yep.
All right, brother.
And this counts for last week and this week. So, anyways, I will talk to you all. Well, I'll go back to the chat room anyway. So, I'll see you.
Thanks so much for calling, Ben.
Boom, boom.
See you, Ben.
Take care, all. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye, Hunt. And we've got one more caller, and this is Gary calling in for Adam about the Amazing Race.
Oh, nice.
So, hi, Gary. How are you? And thank you for calling in tonight.
Yo, Adam, this is Gary from Miami. About tonight's Amazing Race, would you have dropped those 20 plates if they were 20 plates of bacon?
Oh. Hell no, and I wouldn't have served it either. I probably would have ended up eating all 20 plates of bacon and told the people, here's shit out of luck, and I just ran to the end and took the two-hour delay.
What a, you have taken the penalty, huh?
I would definitely take the penalty if I could eat my bacon.
That is awesome.
Great question, Gary.
Hey, thanks,
Gary. Gary, you say you're calling from Miami, but your area code's from New Jersey. How long have you been away from New Jersey?
Too long. Missed the dirty Jersey, missed the dirty water, missed the dirty air.
Oh, we got plenty of it, don't worry.
Adam, I understand you're a big Yankees fan, right?
Yes.
That whole mantra you once had about Joe Girardi, do you still think it's true regarding his decision to bench A-Rod?
You know what? I think Girardi should be benching a lot of those guys. I say put Brett Gardner in there. Put the kids in there that want to play, not the overpriced superstars that can't get it done.
Okay, awesome, Adam. Keep it up.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks so much for calling in. You have a great day.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
That was a good question, Adam.
That was a great question. 20 plates of bacon.
Hey, when are you doing a bacon commercial, man?
Who knows? I mean, well, just on Friday, I was with my friends over at Bakery here in New York at the New York Comic Con, signing some autographs, and we were on Bacon Paradise on the Travel Channel about 2 weeks ago. I did a little segment on that, so... you know, my face is getting out there. People know me as the bacon guy. Hopefully one of these days, Oscar Mayer or somebody will come calling and say,
that's what I was thinking, baby. That would be huge.
Here's $20 million. Talk about bacon.
I watched that episode, by the way. I still have it on my TiVo.
Nice. Yeah, it was so funny, you know, because, again, being on Big Brother and, like, doing the reality stuff and not being able to see the show when it aired, you know, for me now, like, you know, I taped that stuff with Bacon Reed back in, like, April, and then it finally came on in, you know, September, October, so it was, like, a long time ago, and, you know, to see it finally on, it was, it was kind of surreal for me, because, again, like, the Big Brother thing, I don't even really believe that I was actually on that show, even though, obviously, I was, but with the Bacon Paradise, seeing myself on TV live as it was being aired, was pretty cool.
That's cool. That's very cool. All right, where are we? We are in the town of Baku, I think it was pronounced. Where they came upon a detour, where it was either Egghead or Lionhead. Egghead, they had to take four eggs and bring them to this cook, who then took a coconut, hollowed out. And made like a little like furnace inside, like a little flame thing going outside it. I'm so sorry. And then they cooked, and then you had to put this coconut on your head, and then they cooked the eggs. Upon cooking the eggs, then they put some hot sauce on the eggs, and you had to eat them. Lionhead was you dressed up in a lion costume, and the head weighed approximately 40 pounds. And you had to do dance steps along this route. So a few of the guys did it. You know, the lion head. A few did the egg head. They both looked relatively very easy. It was just a matter of finding the spot.
You know what, Louie? I remembered back to last season when they had to get these dance steps exactly right. And when they described that head thing, the lion's head, I thought, people are going to screw up the dance steps. They're going to send them back to the start. And that was a little disappointing that didn't happen. Was anybody else thinking that would come into play?
Well, I'm going to steal a line from my metalhead brothers. I thought the chipmunks weren't doing the dance steps properly. But, you know, the one James, I guess with the Y, he had the great comment, though, about, like, 90,000 people have had that that Lyon put on their head and in his mouth, in the mouth, and he just kissed them all. But, you know, he seemed to be, like, dancing to his own beat. And, I mean, I know he's a Chippendales dancer and he's got some moves, or at least I've heard. I've never seen a Chippendales act live. Wink, wink. But, you know,
Not that there's anything wrong with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, last year, Mark from Mark and Bopper, I mean, he was having the hardest time in the world getting the dance steps exactly right.
Yep.
And it seemed like this time it was like, okay, as long as you're, you know, wearing the head and, you're like, you know, doing the dips and, you know, turning around, you know, it's okay. But I thought it was, you know, it should have been a little bit more intense. Like, hey, you have to follow these steps, especially since this is a tradition that they've done for years. If you don't do it exactly right, then it's not the exact same dance. So why did they let people just, you know, have the artistic freedom and not do the dance steps exactly right?
I agree. There was nothing. I really thought, who was it? I think it was Lexi, right? Which I thought, when she put that headdress on, I thought she was going to break her neck or something.
Oh, right? I know.
He held it there.
James of one of the Chippendales had one of my favorite lines. You know, he has sort of a southern accent, and he was talking to his partner, and he goes, "You okay?" And he says, "Just hang on. We're in Indonesia, and we got a lion's head on."
they're very funny. I gotta say, last year's cast seemed like they were way more serious, where this year's cast definitely a lot more fun, a lot more loose. We haven't seen any big meltdowns or breakdowns yet, but I'm sure they're coming.
Oh yeah, and they're common when they gotten those little, I don't know what they're called, but I'll call them rickshaws, James and James. I mean.
Well, yeah, the first rickshaw they were in, they couldn't even fit in it. And, you know, that was one that had the top, and you could see, I mean, they're both 6'4", and those things are meant for, you know, and I'm not being racist or stereotypical, but most Asians are a lot smaller than 6'4", so you can fit, like, 4 or 5 of them, and those two in there packed like sardines, that was quite amusing.
But I think those things, those rickshaws, whatever you call them, I think they were called peacats.
Yeah, something like that.
And did you notice, though, when they originally got in the one with the overhead in it, and then they cut to them again, and now they're in one without it?
Yeah.
So they never showed them actual switch out of one into another one, unless they took the top off of that one.
Yeah, I mean, I felt bad for the guy pedaling, because, I mean, that's a lot of beats to be pedaling along.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
I saw where one of them was actually, it was toward the end of the race where he was actually pushing it, but it was toward the end of the race.
Right, well, I mean, they that's what those guys do all day long. I mean, but like Adam said, they're not used to two big oxen inside
right.
those things. So.
Hey, before we continue, just going back, talking about disappointments, we talked about the dance step disappointments. I was a little disappointed about the clue that they kept reading over and over again when they were going to be on the train. Keep your eyes open for the next clue. I mean, it seemed almost too easy, those clues dangling from, you know.
Hey, Paul.
And who was it that wanted to pay for it? They're like, how much should I owe you for it? And that was fucking funny.
Was that Natalie and Nadia?
I think maybe, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, you're all set.
But that was, you know, a little editing that they allowed us to see. And when I see those things, I think, okay, somebody, they're going to miss it. Or is it going to be outside the window and they're going to see it drive by and have to get off the train and, you know, go up to it, something. But it just seemed like it was a little disappointing because in my mind I thought it was going to be harder.
Right. I mean, Paul, I think you might have been sleeping when I talked about this spot, but I'm teasing.
I was in the screening room. Maybe that was when. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. No, we did mention this, and that's okay. I don't mind talking about it again. It's like it was right in front of your face. They walked by it on a tray, but. Like the one of the James brothers was looking up, and he's like looking in trays and stuff like that. That's what they want you doing, looking out the windows and all that stuff. But that was right in your face. It's just the stress of trying to figure out where the hell this clue's going to be. And it wasn't that hard at all. So, I mean.
Well, I apologize, people, for bringing something up that was
Stop it. I'm teasing you.
Anyway,
I don't know.
No, I'm for the listeners, too. They don't know when I'm not on listening. But, at any rate, so catching back up to our current spot.
Yeah. So we did the egghead and the lion head. And once you've completed that, you got your next clue, and it was a route info to Perelman. It was where when they got there, there was a double U-turn machine, all right? So the first four teams I got there, Abby Ryan, Trey Lexi, James and Abba, none of them wanted the U-turn. They said, we don't need to. They were way ahead of the other teams at this point. And so then when the last five teams came up, that's when it started getting ugly.
Let me stop right there, Louie, because I kind of understand the leading teams and that they're kind of an alliance and they all agreed not to do it. But do you think it also came into play that they knew how far out in advance they were from the final four teams or whatever?
I believe that.
Because this was a perfect opportunity that it was anonymous. Nobody would know.
Right.
You know? And I think that does come into play so often when somebody does get U-turned and they know who did it to them, that they're out for blood to get back at somebody if they continue in the race. And this seemed like a perfect anonymous opportunity. And the other thing I'm curious about, and my memory isn't that great for all the seasons, but it seems like other U-turns, you know who is still behind you. Maybe that's just my assumption, but was that something different this time, that they did not have any idea who was behind them at the time, or is that always the case?
No, it's just that those first four teams knew that the other five teams were behind them. Period. I mean,
okay. So previous seasons. What I mean is, in previous seasons, they're not, the board, that electronic board, doesn't tell them who has already passed through and who is behind them.
Right.
They just have to kind of know.
Right. You have to know exactly. Yes.
All right. I so wanted to ask that question tonight.
I mean, and there was no electronic boards up on season 16. You know, back. You know, so I mean.
Right.
Relatively new, actually. I think it's only started about three seasons ago.
Well, it's funny with the U-turn, though. The first team that were on the first train, I mean, they had a 3-hour lead, so it would have been ridiculous for any of them to U-turn anybody else. But, Monster Truck decided, hey, you know what? We don't know how far anybody else is. And they ended up U-turning Gary and Will, which was... Yeah, it was kind of rude, but at the same time, you know what? This is a game for $1 million, or for one team, $2 million. So I don't see any problem in U-turning somebody, because you know what? If you don't, you end up and you might get eliminated, and that team that you could have U-turned can beat you. So I see no problem, and especially if it was anonymous, you didn't know. I mean, it would have been a no-brainer. I would have U-turned somebody.
If you were the bottom five teams, absolutely. No brainer. Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. All right, so when they finished up, when they got to this W thing, they had to head to the pit stop, which was the number one high school there in Indonesia. Abby and Ryan, the $2 million dream team, came in first again. And they won a trip for two by Travelocity to the Fiji Islands. And no, we're not getting any money from Travelocity, but maybe we will someday. But anyway, then Trey and Lexi was like just behind them. Now, what I liked about this was, they're talking about Trey and Lexi saying, Abby and Ryan were our threats right from the beginning. You know, they were our team we needed to beat. You know, they were saying it to their face. And I love how at the end, I think it was Lexi says, yeah, well, if it comes down to it, we will U-turn them. And the face Ryan gave was pretty priceless, I thought.
I know.
So, James, go ahead.
No, but it was funny, though, because, again, with the whole U-turn thing, was it Brittany and Caitlin, the two of them, you know, they're looking around at the spot where they were doing the Lionhead Challenge looking for the U-turn thing. You know, and, again, if you read the directions on there and you say where you have to go, but once again, the theme of the night is bad transportation. You know,
yep.
they were in the rickshaw, the Pedcom, whatever, and they were going to it, and they came back, and you know, Gary and Will, who ended up they did get U-turned, went back and they did their second challenge, and still, you know, they followed the directions properly. They knew where they were going, and you know, they ended up in a neck and neck race to get to that pit stop and not be eliminated.
Yeah, I thought they were for sure done when they got U-turned, but the magic of editing earlier in the show, what did Will find on the ground? He found money, and he said, this must mean that it's our lucky day, and I didn't even think about it until, you know, they actually didn't get eliminated.
Right.
The girls just had such a bad driver. It was just such a shame.
You know, getting off the list of people, how they placed, Adam, you said earlier something about reading clues. And, like, I've watched this show from day one, you know, from the beginning. And I said, that's one of the things I said to my partner, Mike. I said, Mike, we have to read the clues. Very important that we read the clues. Sure enough, we were guilty of it as well. It doesn't, you know, like right up there with bad taxi rides or bad rides, period. If you don't pay attention or you catch a bad taxi, it's just going to happen. If you don't read the clue right, it's going to happen. It just, you can do it. You're in such a stress. You're in such a, your adrenaline is flowing. It's incredible, you know. People say to me, how was it? Well, I say it was physically and mentally draining. And the best way to describe the show itself, you know. But it was unbelievable. It was amazing, for lack of a better word, as well. So.
And they can put in there in certain, you know, just in wording, they can, you know, put in just a little thing like, you know, you must walk or you must, you know, just a slight little variation in the way that they've always put the wording on, you know, the clue, so that, you know, it's just a very slight little variation from the way that they've all been before.
Yeah, like,
and
Rob,
you miss it, you know.
Like when Rob had to eat the frog stuff or whatever it was, and he was told he couldn't pick up the plate or whatever.
Right.
He had to, oh my God! I think they're always going to read everything from here on out, that team.
Hey, if you remember back to your school days, you know, read the directions, read the directions, read the directions. And, you know, in a game that's, you know, for $1 million, you know, I would think that these people would know. But once again, the heat of the moment, when you're in the moment, you get a little hectic, you get a little crazy, your brain goes a little bit. But, you know, and it's being able to keep your calm during those chaotic moments. Read the directions, know exactly what you have to do. You know, and then, Louie, I got a question for you. When you get those clues, obviously there's camera people there, but if you have any questions about how you're supposed to do it, are you able to ask a producer or somebody there if you're confused on it? No, not at all?
No. Camera guy, sound guy won't say a word to you as far as that goes. Or any of that stuff goes. I mean, they'll have conversations.
So it's all up to your own interpretation.
Yep. It's all you. You can't go, oh, I don't understand this. Can you please explain it to me? That's not happening.
Wow.
It doesn't, yep. Hey, I mean, look, it's a race for $1 million. You know, they're not going to make it that easy for you. So,
Well, you need to wrap this up, Louie, because I keep hearing you. You need to get some sleep, bud.
Yes. All right. So in third place came James and James. Fourth place came James and ABBA, the Rockers.
Yes.
And fifth place came Josh and Brent. Sixth place, Nadia and Nalia. And seventh place, Rob and Kelly. Eighth place, Greg and Gary and Will. And ninth place, Caitlin and Brittany. Oh, my God. Who were eliminated. No, and I'm reading the board and know that, you know, I even thought it was going to be a non-elimination leg of the race, but not yet. Maybe next week. Or maybe they're pulling a quick one on us this year, you know, and just going to be eliminate, and then all of a sudden something's going to happen. So, but if I had to be a guessing man, I would say next week, like Thomas said. So.
Well, I was thinking tonight because I knew it was a double U-turn. I thought, you know, history, those double U-turns always cause some controversy. And a lot of times somebody that gets U-turned gets eliminated. And that, you know, if that happened and it was non-elimination, they could say, okay, we're still in this. We're going to come back after
right.
you, peeps.
Well, all I can say is that the producers probably didn't like the way this double U-turn ended up tonight. You know, it brought no drama to the show other than for a couple of people in the backpack of it. But other than that, it didn't do anything for it.
So do you think they might throw in a secondary double U-turn since this one didn't add a lot of drama to the show?
I would bet on it, yep.
That's what I was thinking, too, because they put those in there in hopes of adding that drama
and
tension to the show.
Louie, I got a question for you. Every team that I've ever seen on Amazing Race has a backpack. What the hell is with Monster Truck dragging their suitcases around?
I don't know, man. I don't know. they got those wheelie things, right? It's a carry-on. So I don't know. I don't know. I personally wouldn't use one of those.
I mean, it cracks me up every episode I see, like, everybody else running with their backpacks, and here these two are just dragging suitcases along. You would think, I mean, look at the size of that guy. I mean, first of all, when that cast was announced, people were tweeting me, like, oh, my God, you're on Amazing Race this year. Like, no, that's not me. My hair is not green. I don't have that much hair. But I mean, like the guy's a beast. You know, he can fit like three backpacks on his back, and you know, just seeing this really big dude dragging in a suitcase along it cracks me up every week.
Ben in the chat room said it's where he keeps his oxygen tanks.
That is funny, Ben. Oh man. Hey, all right. Look, everybody, I love you all. I want to get to bed because I got to be up for 7:00, and hopefully I'm feeling better in the morning. I'm gonna medicate myself right now.
All right, big glass of water by your bedside too. That always helps.
Yes, Dr. Paul, I will do that.
and hey, let me give a shout out real quick to any criminals in Rhode Island. If you're getting chased by Louie, tomorrow is your day because you can get away from him because he's going to stop and talk. So, all the criminals in Rhode Island, go on a rampage tomorrow. It'll be you might be able to get away with it.
I'm going to give you a little tip there, Adam. They just jump in my back seat because they're afraid of me. Yeah.
I'm kidding. I don't want any criminals going on a rampage through Rhode Island.
Oh, my goodness. That's a great one. Adam, you're welcome to stay if you want. Louie, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Adam,
I know you're not feeling well. I certainly hope you feel better, babe.
Take care of yourself, Adam. Thank you so much, brother.
My pleasure. My pleasure. You know,
really appreciate it.
I said it before, I'll say it again. It's so good to be a fan again and just watching this without any, you know, real vested interest. You know, so I can just enjoy these great reality shows that we are all addicted to.
Yes, we are. And Cherry and Paul, I love both of you. Thank you so much. And all the amazing listeners, thank you again for another amazing week. I love you guys.
Take care, Louie. Feel better.
We love you, hon. Take
Thank
care,
you.
And I hope you feel better soon.
Thank you, baby. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, hon. So, Adam?
Yes.
What all have you been up to lately?
Well, you know, I mentioned before about the Comic-Con, you know, which was, I don't know if anybody out there listening or if any of you guys have ever been to a Comic-Con before, but, man, that is one wild time. You know, you have people from, you know, the comic book people, you have, you know, video game people, you have just, like, random stuff, and just seeing, like, all the people that came out, like, in costumes and dressed up, and, you know, as reality people, we let our freak flag fly. Like, we are so comfortable, with ourselves and in our little quirkinesses, and it's so great to see other people in other areas you just letting their freak flag fly. But the one thing I do want to say to anybody out there, there were people that, like, were coming to the booth that I was at, and they were intimidated to come up to me and say hi. And you know what? We are just regular people, too. So if you ever see your favorite reality person on the street, go up and say hi to them. Don't be scared. Don't be embarrassed. You know, we obviously put ourselves out there. We're comfortable. Come on up and say hi to us. It's you know, don't feel like, you know, we're somebody else, that we're bigger or better. We're just like all of you. So
you probably see tweets saying something like, I saw you at such and such, but I was afraid to come up. That probably just drives you nuts. It's like, oh, why didn't you?
Exactly. I mean, there was a picture on Twitter. Somebody posted, you know, I was in a bar, and there was a picture of me at a bar, and they posted it like, hey, I saw you out. I'm like, well, why didn't you come over and say hi? What the heck? But it's still kind of amusing. But, you know, don't be intimidated. We're just regular people, too.
I guess, you know, the other way you can look at it is they think that, you know, they'd love to come up, but they want to give you your private time. So they're showing not their fear necessarily, but maybe trying to respect you.
Yeah, and I get that. But you know what? None of us are Brad Pitt. None of us are, you know, Angelina Jolie. Like, you know, we're regular people that are on the show. Don't feel bad at all. But other than that, you know, like I said, next month I'm going to be doing the Movember. I'm going to be, you know, doing some work with the Movember people. We're doing some media. Next Wednesday I'm going to be on a TV, a morning show here in New York, WLNY, you know, talking about Movember and, you know, raising money for men's health, you know, mostly like prostate cancer, research and awareness. So, stuff like that, you know, definitely keeps me busy. And then I'm also in the process of planning a wedding.
The wedding.
In April. Sarah and I set a date, April 20th of 2013.
All right.
We're going to be getting married. So, you know, unfortunately, like I said, just that's taken up a lot of time. I've said it before, I'll say it again, I am going to be a groomzilla. You know, Sarah knows that I'm a very, detail-oriented planning person. Other people might say I'm a control freak, which is safe to say. But, you know, this is my day to be a pretty girl, and I'm going to be a pretty girl, and I'm going to have it go my way.
Are you going to stay at home? You're not going to do some exotic location?
Well, we were talking about doing a destination wedding, but things just fell into place that, you know, we're going to do a wedding here in New Jersey, and then we're going to go away for a couple of days. Her being a school teacher is not going to be able to get out of work for, you know, a long period of time. So we're going to go on a quick little vacation right afterwards, and then come next summer we'll probably, you know, do like a full honeymoon. But in the meantime, between now and then, you know, I'm still going to try to do as much charity work as I can, or, you know, promote people. You know, if there's any charities that any of the listeners are involved in, you know, hit me up on Twitter @HeavyMetalTeddy. Let me know what you're doing, and you know, all help spread the word for you guys because, I mean, Cherry, you said it before, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that need help, and unfortunately in this world, not everybody is healthy 24/7, and some people need a little bit of help, and anything I can do to help them, I'm more than happy to do.
Well, you guys, you know, it's so wonderful to see, you know, the reality people use their platform in such a wonderful way, and I commend you so much in doing so, Adam. It's just heartwarming to see all the charities that you guys do, and using your, you know, fame, so to speak, and in such a wonderful way to help kids in need and you know, sick children like little Alexander. I know that Reality Rescue is going on for, you know, the dogs and cats that don't have a home. Just all the charities out there that are so, you know, wonderful. And to see the Reality people, you know, give back to their communities and the charities that they can, you know, help out is just really heartwarming. And I so commend you for, you know, using your time. And it is your time. And I know you stay very busy. And it's a lot of time and effort for you guys to take part in these charities and do the things you do. So
right, well,
I really commend you for doing all of this. And
if you saw in tonight's episode, the team that got eliminated, karma was a bitch to them. They were talking a lot of smack. They were saying, you know, when they were on the train, they were talking about like how, you know, we feel like we're in a good position because we can, you know, we're stronger than these other teams. And karma came back and bit them. So, you know, I'm a big believer in karma, and you can never have too much karma. So, you know, by giving back and helping, you never know when you're going to be in a position where you're going to need a little bit of help. And, you know, I feel like if you don't help other people when it's time for you to need help, there's going to be nobody there to help you. So,
so very true.
Well, all right, Cherry, I'm going to get going now. Cherry and Paul,
so much.
As always, it's so great to talk to you guys. You know, it's always fun to talk about these crazy shows that we love. You know, I'm not sure if our other buddy Chi-Town Joe is listening, but if you're out there, Joe, what up, buddy?
He left the chat room, but I'm sure he'll hear that. I'll mention it to him. I have one question before you run off. Is Tori going to get an invitation to your wedding?
You know what? We'll see what happens. She did joke last time that I saw her that she wanted to officiate the wedding. You know, that is one detail that we have not locked down yet, is somebody to officiate our wedding. So,
well, there's always Matt Hoffman.
There is always Matt Hoffman. But, you know, I'm going to let Tori, you know, deal with you know, her new baby. And I don't know if you heard, she actually had a really tough time with this pregnancy. So
I did hear that.
I'm gonna let her recover a little bit before I start badgering her to come to New Jersey in April and marry Sarah and I.
Oh, I had to ask, Adam. You know, I love your spirit to death, and I know how much it meant when Tori came into the Big Brother house. I know that you're a huge fan, and I just had to ask the question before you got out of here if you were going to send the invite and if she was going to have any part. So thank you so much for answering, and I do hope that she's there. But I know whether Tori is a part of it or not, you and Farrah were absolutely meant to be together. You're just one of the most beautiful couples ever, and
without
I wish you both all the very best in your
Thank
future.
Thank you so much.
And
thank you.
I just want to see your wedding just be the most beautiful thing ever. So congratulations on your engagement to you and Farrah. And
like I said,
thank you so much.
I'm planning the wedding. It's going to be the most amazing day ever.
Farrah gets off very easy. She has you planning the wedding. That's almost unheard of. Most grooms don't want to have any part of that. So lucky girl in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways. I'll let her know.
Well,
thank you guys so much.
Say hi to her, and thanks again for joining us tonight.
My pleasure, Paul. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Adam. You take care and say hi to Farrah for us.
I will.
All right. Take care, hon. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Wow, what a fun show.
Yes, twas.
I always love talking to Adam. He's always upbeat, and he always has such a great attitude. I would love to see Tori officiate their wedding. I just had to ask that before he got out of our chat room and out of our...
Yeah, that was. I'm glad you brought that up. I had forgotten that she had that license or capability. But there's also, I mean, thinking of Big Brother, I think Eric Stein is also can legally marry people too. I mean, he mentioned that to Ron on the red carpet in Vegas. So
right. No,
but Tori
had a very difficult delivery with this last baby. And
how many is that? How many for them now?
Oh my goodness!
A bunch.
Yeah, I think this is 4 or 5. I'm not exactly sure. I watched that show some, but I'm not sure exactly how many children they have now. But oh my gosh, I know that they said that the delivery was pretty scary there for a while, and so she might slow it down a little bit after that.
Yeah.
You know, Thomas just put 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7. I don't know if she has 7. I don't know how many kids she has, but I don't know if it's that many.
And counting. I'm sure there will be. I was going to ask him, but I didn't want to keep him on too long. But I'm sure there will likely be a number of people, Big Brother people, that will attend the wedding as well. And,
oh, absolutely. Everybody
yeah.
loves Adam. And there'll be a lot of heavy metal people there, too.
I was wondering that, too, yeah.
I'm sure there'll
be... What kind of wedding processional song is he going to come up with?
And, you know, I can see it be a bacon-lined walkway.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Somebody will roar.
Oh yeah, there'll be plenty of roars. I'm sure after his "I do," he may roar. You know, he's just such a great guy. I just love Adam. He has the best sense of humor, and you know, he knows so many people. It seems like, you know, every time we talk about somebody that's from up in that area, you know, Gen City, and, you know, now the guys on The Amazing Race, the Rockers, you know, he's got some degree of separation, and it's usually only like 1 degree of separation, and he knows them actually when it comes down to it in some way, and he just has all these connections, and I think most people love Adam. There's been very few that I've talked to that really didn't care for Adam, and I think the people that don't like Adam it's only because they've never really gotten to know him or talk to him and understand him. I'm so happy that I've been able to meet him in person and spend time with him. He's just one of the most wonderful people that I've been able to, you know, meet him and Farrah, and he's just a warm, fuzzy teddy bear that has a great outlook on life and a great sense of humor.
I should, speaking of, you know, you brought up music for him. I think maybe I'll have to clip out a small bit of the intro music to 90210. Would you think that would be appropriate for him?
That might be. I mentioned when he, you know, early on that we're going to have to get a song for Adam. I don't know exactly what it might be, but we do need to find an Adam song.
Well, it's closing in on the end of the show, another show of the network. Oh, I do have possibly a clean clip of network. Hint, hint. We'll have to talk afterwards.
Okay.
You know what I'm speaking. Okay. But shows coming up or closing
stuff?
Well, I just want to mention that on tomorrow we have Manic Monday, and our guest will be a surprise. On Tuesday, we have Jody's Box of Reality with Jody Rollins, and the guest on Tuesday, I believe, is Missy from Superpass. And she'll be joining us, yes, and that will be at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central. Manic Monday is at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Then we go to the Thursday night Survivor show, and that is at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and we have Mr. Travis Sampson, also known as
Bubba.
He told one of the most amazing stories. Don't tell it yet. I tried for 2 hours today to get the widgets to work. And for some reason, every time I tried to do the widget, it was putting somebody else's show up. And
that's
I kept having to delete it. So I don't know what was wrong with the widget thing today, but it wasn't working, and I tried and I tried and I tried. So I had to keep deleting them. Thankfully, Jody, our friend Jody, noticed it first and called me and said, "That's not your show." So I had to delete them, and I tried and I tried, and I'm going to keep trying to put that show up. I want everyone to hear this song. If you're a patriot of the United States, you will love to listen to this story. It's
right.
One of the most amazing stories that I've ever heard a survivor come back with.
Somebody in the chat room brought it up, and this is what I would have at the time if you had called me and asked me about the trouble you were having, is the alternate method is just to drop the link to the show and directly as opposed to putting the widget. But, Night Owl, that or somebody said that. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Ben did.
And Night Owl said to combine them. I just like to do it with the widget, but I can combine it. I figured I'd wait till tonight and see if maybe they were working on it or something. If I can't get it any other way, if I can't get the widget to work, then I will put it up with just the link itself.
Right. The combine was about possible songs for Adam, and Ben was talking about the theme song from the TV show Adam's Family. Thomas said Bacon Song, and Night Owl says just combine the both of them into one type of thing. But, thanks, Night Owls.
But I do want everybody to hear this Survivor story. Actually, there's two stories. And both of them are amazing, but one of them is just unbelievable. We're all surprised that it didn't make headline news across the nation, and it really should have. So I'm hoping to get that out tonight after this show. I'll get it out somehow. So listen for that, watch for that, and do listen to it. It's worth the listen for that Survivor show. But other than that, I think I mentioned a little Alexander already. I want to say hi, and I hope you guys are having a blast out at Reality Rescue. I know that everybody's having a great time out there. Wish I was there. I wish we all were there. And I think that's about it. Do you have anything else, Paul?
No, your Cardinals are winning, but you don't really care about baseball, so...
want my teams to win.
I know.
What's the score?
It was like 6-4 going into the ninth. We were talking football, and you wanted to join in the conversation, so you had to throw the Cardinals in there, because otherwise... there's no hockey happening, so.
There's no hockey. What else do I have to talk about?
Exactly.
I'm just missing my hockey so bad. It's just not fair.
Well, see, we have a nationally ranked collegiate hockey team in the Minnesota Golden Gophers. They're ranked number 2 in the nation right now. So even if the North Stars, the Minnesota Wild aren't playing, we can watch our college hockey team, which is a pretty good team. But hang in there. Hopefully it will end sooner than later.
Well, I certainly hope so. We have one of the best teams we've ever had, and now they have us locked out. So it's very, very aggravating. But
are you still going to put all your Blues stuff out there, or are you going to wait till the season starts?
Oh, well, I'm not going to put it out there till the Blues are on the ice.
Okay.
What he's talking about to the listeners is, well, actually, I put a little out there. I put it out there last year because we were in the playoffs. My whole front yard, my house, was decorated in St. Louis Blues.
Mailbox.
We live at the end of a cul. Well, my mailbox is permanently a St. Louis Blues helmet. That's permanent. That's year-round. But I bought that for my husband 1 year as a gift. But we live at the end of a cul-de-sac, and I often said it looked like the St. Louis Blues came down to the end of our street and threw up St. Louis Blues. I mean, it was just decked to the to the nth degree, St. Louis Blues everywhere on our house. I have dog statues. My dog statues are wearing St. Louis Blues jerseys. We had big flags, small flags, everything you can imagine, all kinds of posters, and yeah, it was a St. Louis Blues mess in front of my house. So we are definitely big fans. So if they make it into the playoffs again this year, it will be that way again. So thanks, Paul, for outing me.
Sure, no problem, Sherry.
Okay, we're going to close the show. Thank you all for being here with us on this Sunday night. We always appreciate your company. I'm going to close the show with our Ron, as we always do, with one of Paul's wonderful clips. And he's put together some new ones recently. And I'm going to figure out which new one I'm going to play tonight. And let's see. I think I'm going to play, let's see. Do you have a preference, Paul?
How about 6E?
That's the one I had my little trigger
that
on
was
here.
Meant to
so
be, then. Go.
That's one of it's going to be. Here we go.
Thank you, everyone. I'm signing off, too. I'm going to finish off the show with... Oh, man, what am I going to finish off with tonight? I've got lots of stuff I can finish off with tonight. But you know what I'm going to finish off with tonight? I'm going to do this one. Sweet dreams.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. Thank you.
all, again, I want to thank everyone for being here with us tonight. It's always a pleasure having you join us for our Sunday night show with Louis Trovato and the Second Pit Stop. Have a great Monday. Have a great week. God bless you. Take care of each other. Be kind to each other. We'll see you tomorrow for Manic Monday. Good night, everyone.